When I took office, we charted a new course, as the Vice President said. Fiscal responsibility, smart investments, more trade. Today, following that path, Americans have created the longest peacetime expansion in our history. Nearly 18 million new jobs, wages rising at twice the rate of inflation, the highest home ownership in history, the lowest welfare rolls, the lowest peacetime unemployment since 1957. Last year, for the first time in three decades, as all of you know, we had turned red ink to black with a $70 billion surplus. It is projected to be only the first of many. As I said in the State of the Union, America is on course for surpluses over the next quarter century. And our estimates, optimistic as they sound, are more conservative than those of Congress. Our economic house is in order and strong. If we manage the surplus right, we can uphold our responsibility to future generations. We can do so by dedicating the lion's share of the surplus to saving Social Security and Medicare and paying down the national debt. We can, and because we can, we must do it now. We have a rare opportunity that comes along once in a blue moon to any group of Americans. We see now that balancing the budget, an idea that once seemed abstract, arcane, or impossible, has made a real difference in the lives of our citizens. Fiscal discipline has transformed the vicious cycle of budget deficits and high interest rates into a virtuous cycle of budget surpluses and low interest rates. When interest rates fall, more Americans can buy and refinance homes, as over 20 million of them have. They can buy cars, retire student loans, start new businesses. When deficits disappear, capital, more than $1 trillion so far, is liberated to create wealth and jobs and opportunity at every level all over America. The less money we tie up in publicly held debt, the more money we free up for private sector investment. In an age of worldwide capital markets, this is the way a nation prospers, by saving and investing, not by running big deficits. This is one reason why this year's budget, as a percentage of our economy, is even smaller than last year's. Now, the budget I present today keeps us on this path, a progressive but prudent path to a positive future. It has taken hard work and tough choices. I want to thank the members of the Cabinet for the whole array of difficult, long meetings we had. But with our economy expanding and our surplus rising, we have confidence that we can now look to the long-term challenges of our country to fulfill our obligations to 21st century Americans, both young and old. The baby boom, as we all know, will soon become a senior boom. The first budget of the next century is our first big step toward meeting that challenge. I have proposed committing 62% of the surplus for the next 15 years to Social Security and investing a small portion of that in the private sector, just as any private or state government pension would do, so that we can earn higher returns and keep Social Security sound for 55 years. If we work together across partisan lines and make some tough but fully achievable choices, we can also save Social Security for the next 75 years, lift the earnings limitation on what seniors on Social Security can earn, and do something to alleviate poverty among elderly women. Our balanced budget also takes steps to strengthen Medicare. Already, we've extended the life of the trust fund by 10 years. We can save it for another decade if we use $1 out of every $6 of the surplus for the next 15 years to guarantee the soundness of Medicare. This budget makes a down payment on that goal. It also commits 12% of the surplus, about $500 billion, more if the Congress turns out to be right, for tax relief to establish universal savings accounts, USA accounts to help Americans to invest, to save for retirement, to share more fully in our nation's wealth. This is the economically sound and fiscally prudent course for our country. If we do it, if we lock in the surplus to save Social Security and Medicare, we can fulfill our obligations to older Americans. But as I said in the State of the Union, and I want to emphasize this in particular today, reform of Social Security and Medicare is equally important to younger Americans for two reasons. First of all, if we take care of this, then when the baby boom retires, our children will have their incomes to invest in their lives and the lives of our grandchildren. Secondly, although this at first glance may seem far removed from our lives, it is essential to their future, because if we do this, we will pay down the national debt. Now, look at this chart. If we set aside 62% of the surplus for 15 years for Social Security, and we set aside 15% for Medicare, we will cut the debt by two-thirds. As a share of our economy, we will cut it by 84%. Look, when I took office, it was about 50%. We've got it down now to about 44%. In 15 years, we will have it down to 7%, a third of what it was in 1981 before we started exploding the debt.